from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I think my game, I try to play with a lot of speed, and I try to play kind of the defensive side of the puck, but I'm kind of working on that offensive still. So yeah, just kind of the confidence of having to play with Draisaitl, and such a demanding player, and he wants you to make so many great plays, and got to do those if you want to play with him.
Newest Buffalo Sabre, Ryan McLeod, his press conference from Wednesday. It's been 1 week since we got a Sabres trade. Let's make it a theme. Every Friday, we get a Sabres trade. Friday, trade day.
We might run out of trades at some point.
Yeah.
Because there's how many Fridays until the season starts?
Right. Today, the Sabres will do future considerations to Washington for future considerations. Boom, there's your trade. I hate future considerations so much. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to some football, but a little bit of hockey in here. It's been 1 week since the McLeod trade, and is there anything left to do? We're about to hit the real slow part of the calendar for hockey as we get into mid-July and into August when Bill's training camp ramps up, preseason as well, and then hockey starts ramping back up again in September. Right now on the Wester Hotline from the Hockey News, Michael Ajello, who writes about the Sabres for the Hockey News. Morning, Michael. Thanks for joining me. Joe and Nate here.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think about, the commentary coming in there about, have they done enough? Do you think this is it? After the McLeod trade on Friday, what would your expectation be on that front?
Well, if it is it, if this is all that they're going to do, I think it's sort of incomplete. I think they're improved. I think the moves that Kevin Adams made in terms of acquiring Beck Malmsten, trading down, getting an extra second-round pick, and converting into a fourth liner, who I think will help. The free agent signings of Zucker, Lafferty, Aubé Kubel, and then the trade for McLeod. Their bottom six is significantly better than it was last year. I think they had one of the probably bottom five, bottom sixes in the NHL. It was completely ineffective at times. But they've they bought out Jeff Skinner, which was an understandable move because of the cap savings. But they were already down 50 goals from the previous year. They only scored 246 goals last year. All their top six players, except for Paterka, had off years. And now you've subtracted 24 goals in Skinner. I'd like to know where they're going to get the offense from. I think more importantly, they improved defensively last year, but the offense evaporated. And I think that's going to be the key to this team making the playoffs for the first time in 13 years.
Michael Augello from the Hockey News, Mike in Buffalo on Twitter, on the Wester Hotline. Yeah, you mentioned the goal scoring. That's the one thing that, for me, is still the biggest concern, because power play especially, but even at 5-on-5, this team couldn't score goals last year when they needed to. And with Skinner out, Zucker in, I know, and you know McLeod will give you a little bit on that front, but I think he's going to be more about defense, playing that third-line center role. Like, where does the offense come from? In the most optimistic view for you, like, where does that offense come from?
Well, if they don't make a move, it looks to me like either Zucker steps into Skinner's spot in the top six, which I don't think is adequate. He has played with skill before. He scored 27 goals with Pittsburgh 2 years ago, but I don't think he's that player anymore. They're either depending on Zach Benson, a 19-year-old who surprisingly made the NHL and stayed the entire year, or Yuri Kulik stepping up from Rochester. And I think those are risky propositions, especially with young players. I mean, Benson, I think he stayed more in Buffalo last year because he was conscientious at both ends of the ice and he was energetic, but he had long stretches where he didn't score. And consistency will come with that, and he's got a lot of talent. But to expect that next year might be maybe too much. And Kulik has scored 20-plus goals in Rochester, but it's a different thing between scoring 20 goals at the AHL level and then being put into a top six role and scoring 20 goals or 20-plus goals at the NHL level. So that's why I think they need to make a move to get a top six forward before the start of the season. But whether they have the desire to do that or the I think they have the assets to do it, but whether they actually do it, who knows?
Yeah, if they have the ability to do it, right? We've talked a lot about their difficulty getting players to say yes to them, but they have the assets. And I don't know, it feels like Kevin Adams has talked like he has the desire to do it too. It just hasn't happened yet. Is there a name that, putting you a little bit on the spot here, is there an idea out there that is reasonable? Zegras, I know, has been talked about a lot. Line A, Nietzsche's, of course, has been a lot of talking in Carolina. Is there an idea out there that sounds the most appetizing to you for them, top six?
Well, I'll give you two. One is a one-year player, Nikolai Ehlers, who's been rumored to be possibly on the move with Winnipeg. There has not been a lot of chatter about him signing an extension with the Jets, and there's a possibility of them moving him out. The Philadelphia situation is interesting because, you know, Travis Konechny, it sounds like they want to sign him and extend him, and he's sort of a John Tortorella player, but there has been some chatter about Joel Farabee, who I think scored 50 points last year and is making $5 million for the next 3 years, that he may be on the outs, but he may be somebody that they're willing to move for the right package. And there's consistently been rumors about Peyton Krebs and the Flyers, but it would take a lot more than Peyton Krebs to get a Joel Farabee. And I think Farabee would fit into a top six role, and he's young, but I think it would have to be a larger deal, and that's where I think it's a complicating situation between the two teams.
I've wondered about, in a Krebs deal like that, especially Philly, because I know they have a need for right-shot defensemen. Like, where the Sabres are at with Henry Okihara right now, 1 year, 3.1, and they brought in Dennis Gilbert. There's Jacob Bryson, who I thought finished the year strong last year, and Ryan Johnson, who is sneakily 23 years old already. Like, I feel like they could get away with trading Okihara and right shot defenseman being at such a premium. But I don't know. Would you think he has enough value to put a package like that over the top? That might be where I would question that idea.
Probably not. I mean, the fact that he's essentially a one-year rental. I mean, most of the time, any player getting to the last year before unrestricted free agency want to test the market. Now, you know, it's possible if you talk to Okihara's agent and there was something, you know, could be understood, then maybe they could extend him. But, I mean, from what I've heard, the interest from Philadelphia is Matias Samuelsson. And I can't see a situation where the Sabres would trade Matthias Samuelsson, because I think he's the perfect complement on a top pairing with Rasmus Dahlin. He is not a top pairing guy, but him being a defensive shutdown guy and allowing Dahlin to take offensive forays, I think that pairing works. And I can't see them trading Samuelsson with his reasonable cap hit and the length of the deal in a deal like Farabee. It would have to be something much bigger. And again, I don't know if there's the appetite there to have that deal go down.
Michael, let me ask you about the situation in goal. And I think going into this offseason, the questions around whether or not, you know, UPL gets as an extension. I believe he's set to go into arbitration now. And then you have Devin Levi, who I think kind of ending the season last year in Rochester, the playoff run that he went on with the Amerks, there was this assumption that it would be this 1-2 goalie sort of, maybe not battle, but that each guy was going to get opportunities next year in the NHL. And then the Sabres go out and sign James Reimer, which to me feels a lot like a lateral move from Eric Comrie last year. It seems like maybe they've set themselves up for a similar, if not the exact same situation they had last year, which was three goalies at the NHL level. Or you have Devin Levi playing another season in the AHL, which I can't imagine was the plan for Levi's camp when he decided to ultimately sign here in Buffalo. And I'm especially with how it looked early on for him being, I think, the best goalie to end the season 2 years ago, to being a guy that's in the AHL. So where do you sort of predict this goaltending situation goes, maybe start the year? And could we be looking at a situation like last year where it started very differently than it ended?
Well, first on the Lukanen contract, Adams has said at the draft, he said when he met with the media late last month, that his intention and there's a want on the part of Lukanen to sign a long-term deal. I was a little surprised that it got to the point of arbitration, but that doesn't mean that they can't negotiate a long-term extension at that point. If they go with a one-year deal, he's walking 1 year closer to unrestricted free agency, and if he has another year like he had last year, then he's going to cost even more. So I think there's an appetite there to get a long-term deal done. Based on that, he only became the primary starter in late December and January, and he played 51 games. He started 51 games, played 54 games. If that's the workload that Lukanen is going to get with Lindy Ruff, then does it make a lot of sense for Devin Levi to be playing as the backup in the NHL, playing 25 games? I'm not sure that's the best in terms of development for him. Now, I'm sure he wouldn't like to go to Rochester. I'm sure he wants to be in the NHL. But like you just said, with the signing of Reimer, I don't perceive them carrying three goaltenders. It didn't really work last year. Reimer is a decent enough backup. They signed him to a one-way deal, so it's possible they could sneak him through waivers and go down to Rochester, and teams might not want to claim a goaltender with a one-way $1 million salary. But I think there's a decent chance that Levi starts the season in Rochester, and I'm sure he won't be pleased at that, because I think his goal is to be an NHL goaltender and a good one. He's got that talent, but right now, you know, nobody expected Lukanen to sort of jump out and be the starter that he was last year. And now, right now, I think the Sabres are going to ride that because he had an excellent season.
Michael Ajello, Hockey News on the Wester Hotline. Michael also talks Leafs and covers the Leafs as well. Do you think Mitch Marner's getting traded? You think that's are trade rumors dead on that front? You think between now and the start of the season, it'll be more about his contract?
I don't think that he is going to be extended in Toronto. I think one way or the other, this is the last year that he will play with the Leafs. I don't think there's an appetite on the part of Brad Treliving to lock up another player at over $11 or $12 million. All things being equal, I think he would like to trade him, but the no movement clause that kicked in last July is a hindrance. I still think there's a possibility of him being traded, but it's got to be the right fit. You know, the Leafs want to be a playoff team next year, and if they trade Marner for picks and prospects, they probably won't be, but if they get a return, you know, there's been some talk about Vegas or talk about Utah. If they get players back and those types of deals, then I think it's possible. But if I had to guess, I would say he starts the season in Toronto.
All right. Michael Ajello, at Mike in Buffalo on Twitter. You can check him out there. He's also the host of the Off the Post radio show for Talking Hockey as well, anywhere you get your podcasts. Michael, thanks for joining us. We'll maybe talk again before the start of the season.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. So Marner there at the end, you know what I did? I went to – he's talking contract. Like, okay, like what's left in the contract again? What's the number? So what do I do, of course? Type in capfriendly.com.
Yes. R.I.P.
Sad day. No more cap friendly. Sorry, Puckpedia. Puckpedia is the new place that we're all going to go.
Hmm.
What were the Capitals buying? If there's another site that does the same thing,
yeah.
It just doesn't look as good. What are they getting?
They're
getting the website.
So they can shut it down and just have another website have the same
information. What's the point of that? What are they really accomplishing? Like
the algos.
Yeah.
What is that, though? What is the algorithm? It's just...
I don't know.
Aren't they just compiling all the LeBron and Friedman tweets all into one place? It's like a giant spreadsheet, isn't it?
Yeah, essentially.
Marner, by the way, we won't do too much more. I want to get back to football, but you haven't been on since all the Sabres free agency and trades and whatnot. And even Lindy, maybe? Maybe even Lindy?
I've not been on since Lindy, yeah.
So we've got most of the Sabre offseason for, like, at least the action that they'll do. My dream idea is still Marner. I mean, am I wrong? Maybe this is completely naive of me to think that he would come here, but I don't know. I can sell myself on it. I can't sell myself on a lot of other ideas. Martin Nietzsche, why would he come here? You know what I mean? Like, he's not connected to the area in any way.
Yeah.
He's from the Czech Republic. He's been playing for a great team in Carolina, which is not like this circus media market. So, like, for him, I can't make a sales pitch. If I'm his, I don't know what I would say, like, to say, like, why he should come here. I don't even know what it would be, other than they will give him the most money. Versus,
yeah, right.
You know, like, Line A might be something like that, although I don't really want Line A.
No.
But there are a lot of players like that where I can't even begin to make a case for why they should actually want to come here. Marner, I feel like I can do it. Marner, and some of it is kind of half-kidding, like the Bills fan part of it, right? Like, he's a giant Bills fan. He's always wearing Bills stuff. Like, that part, you know, I'm like half-kidding when I say that that would appeal to him to be in the same city, you know, get him to go to Josh Allen's house a couple of times. But I can kind of sell myself just a little bit on the fact that he's from the Toronto area.
Yep.
It would be nearby, while also he would no longer be the giant polarizing lightning rod that gets blasted by the whole city once a year when they inevitably lose in the first round.
And he gets to be the 1A guy, not the 1B guy.
Right, if that matters to him too, right? He's definitely in Matthew's shadow.
Yeah.
Here, he would be their best player.
He'd be their best player.
Immediately. Him and Dahlin. Like, it might be right, like 1A, 1B, like you said. Are you happy? Is this enough? Have they done enough for you to satisfy your appetite for the Sabres?
No, but I've come around to the fact that this is probably some of the best they can do because of who they are and maybe where the league and its players see them. But, you know, Michael's point about the bottom six improving, I think it's been an area that this organization has talked about improving for, I don't know, since 2015, and they haven't. And they just kept bringing back the same guys. But they definitely, I think what I noticed is Lindy Ruff's fingerprints all over the shift in the types of players they've gone after. They went from being one of the slowest teams in the league last year. I think I saw this chart that the top 100 skaters to reach 20 miles per hour. The Sabres had one player in that.
Maybe Tuck was the only one.
Tuck was the only one. He was like 90.
Yeah.
Out of 100, the top 100. They had six guys in the bottom 100, including Jeff Skinner, who is the second slowest behind Corey Perry. Yeah. So they went from a bottom six that was largely slow. And maybe I'll stop short of saying they were easy to play against. But what did we hear all last year is that they needed to be harder to play against. Well, their bottom six now, to me, with speed, physicality, a little bit more, I think, defensive-centered ideas. Mm-hmm. They have more two-way players than they've ever had. So
they're a better defensive team in the bottom six by far, I think, and they are a faster team.
Yeah.
And I might even say a more physical team.
I would say so.
Like, really.
They don't have a fighter, but I don't
care.
I don't really worry about that anymore.
Yeah, I don't care.
If you do care about that, Dennis Gilbert on the blue line has 33 fights to his name.
There you go.
The other day. The bottom six, yeah, like, what was it? It was Victor Olofsson, who didn't give you any defense,
nope,
any physicality, and even wasn't that fast. He was a lightning rod shot that, by the way, went away last year.
They had largely players that over the course of their careers had been in scoring roles or specialized scoring roles playing third and fourth line minutes.
That's a good point. Yeah, their bottom six was filled with failed scorers.
Yes.
Okposo, Olofsson, Tyson Jost, even was that.
Was a first-round pick. He was a high first-round pick that never really turned into the guy that he was early in his career.
Yeah.
And he just kind of turned into a role player. But one that you didn't surround him with players that really complement. Like, Kyle Post was not a fourth-line player.
He got better at that as it went on, but he was not at the outset.
No.
And if you're worried about speed, I mean, that's...
Right.
That's,
good night. He was the fifth slowest player in the league.
Yeah. Game seven, he looked fast. He left it all on the ice that last
game. He certainly did. Yeah.
But right, over the course of an entire season, like, that is not a player that's going to give you much speed at all. Gergensen's was fast, but like, that was really kind of it in their bottom six. I could use one more top six move. Couldn't we all?
I really like the Farabee idea a lot.
I think the Farabee idea is like very realistic. He's not even my favorite player.
No.
He's not my favorite idea for this. I think he's fine. I don't think he's amazing. But he's a proven 20-goal scorer that's under contract for multiple years at $5 million, which is not the Jeff Skinner contract.
Yeah.
It's not $9 million. It's a fine contract. It's kind of like Tuck a little bit. Actually, there are a lot of comparisons between him and Tuck. They're not exactly the same, but they're both from Syracuse. So I can maybe sales pitch the idea of, like, this is, you're kind of hometown. And I don't know if Farabee grew up a Sabre fan like Tuck did. I don't know. I know he knows Tuck. Just, I think they were on the same team, which level of juniors, I don't remember. But he, too, like, 20 goals, 50 points once, couple of 30-point seasons. But here you're going to play an expanded role, maybe get a few more points. Like, that's exactly what happened to Alex Tuck. So I think Farabee's a fine idea, but it's a sellable idea. And it's a team that I've seen multiple times connected to Peyton Krebs. And like Michael said, you're gonna need to give him more than Peyton Krebs to get Joel Farabee, but that's a starting point. That's a starting point for a top six player that I could see them landing. It's just whether Philly wants to trade him. And I see his name, Farabee, on these trade bait boards. Like Daily Faceoff has one, TSN for the offseason. And his name is on there, but whenever I read the write-ups, I never really see a good reason why he's available. You know, like,
yeah,
he scored 20 goals last year. He's not overpaid. Philly is trying to win. I know they haven't been, but they're not rebuilding all the way. They've signed some veterans. So I guess I don't really know why Philly would trade him, but some of these insiders, I guess, believe that he is available.
And I guess my only question remains, and I know that it kind of got broached, was the Peyton Krebs conversation. I know Philly has been linked to Peyton Krebs a bunch, really, over the past year and a half. I don't know. I guess I just don't know. Where does he fit right now? He doesn't, unless there's a move to wing in play.
I asked Paul earlier in the week, like, is he even in the lineup opening night right now if everybody's healthy? And Paul said no. I don't think he's in the lineup opening night. And, I mean, what if someone's interested in him out there, even if it's a buy low, which he...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He is, right?
It certainly isn't by high, yeah.
He, you know, it's okay because Thompson performed and Middlestat performed to where they could get a top four defenseman for him. The one player, that young offensive player with pedigree as a draft pick and a prospect, that the Sabres did not get the most out of is Peyton Krebs.
Yeah.
And
just never really materialized. And I also don't think that he was put in a lot of positions.
I was going to say.
To be.
I wonder if Don Granato ruined him in a way. And again, Granato, in terms of developing a lot of these players into the guys they are. I mean, if that's one miss, he had like five or six hits, you know? So
yeah.
It still is, I think, a positive development looking back that Granato was the coach, getting Thompson to turn around and Middlestat to turn around and Skinner to turn around. I mean, there's Dahlin. I could go on and on and on. There were a lot of examples. There aren't many on the other side of guys he didn't get the most out of or didn't help further along their careers, but Krebs would be one of them. Like, to me, Krebs, the moment he kind of became a regular, like 2 years ago, he got put with Gergensen and Okposo and never left.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of just got placed there. And I do wonder, like, what does that do to a guy's game? You know? Like, okay, you're now on a line that is about, you know, being sound defensively, simple, dump it in, go chase it, be an energy guy, right? Be solid defensively, work the walls, you know, make the simple plays, don't try to do too much. I wonder if playing in a role like that for 2 years killed his offense, killed his offensive instincts.
Yeah.
Because as a prospect, what was he? Playmaker, stick handling, fast, quickness. Power play when
and
he was in
passing.
Juniors.
I mean, he
passing
was, all
was
about,
the thing, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, there might have been passes that he made before becoming an NHL regular that were high risk. Like, all right, I'm going to try to sauce this pass over two defensemen because I got a guy standing on the other side ready to rip a one-timer. And I wonder if he stopped making passes like that. I don't have film to back that up, so I'm just kind of guessing at this. But it would make sense in my own mind, generalizing, that maybe some of that has happened to Krebs, where there were plays that worked for him in the past that got beat out of him because he was playing a role where you're not really supposed to do stuff like that.
Right.
And even if you were to make that pass, it's not Tage Thompson sitting on the other side.
Right.
You know, it was Gergensen's.
Yeah.
How often was it going in the back of the net?
Not often.
So yeah. I don't know where they're at with him. I think he's a definite trade candidate, though, even though his value would be, you know, as low right now as it ever would be. 803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, NFL fantasy season is upon us. July 12th, we'll talk with Adam Krautwurst, who we will be with at the Scott Fishbowl. 9:30 for Adam Krautwurst. We're going to do our MVP conversation when we come back. Correction there. So Adam at 9:30. When we come back, I've got a trivia question for you, Nate, that I'll be stunned if you get, and will go to show how big of a favorite Patrick Mahomes has been for MVP every year since he's broken out. Stay tuned. I think Allen is going to have a tough time getting there for one point in particular. That's coming up. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, this is WGR.
Have you thought about retiring and then the Bills will win a Super Bowl? Because that's kind of a thing that's going around. If you retire, the team you were last on wins.
Sometimes you got to make a sacrifice. Yeah. Oh, you can answer. But
if that's what it took, I would do it.
Oh, wow. That's huge for the Bills.
If I could, can I?
Yeah, guarantee it. Because that's what Blake did. He guaranteed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would do it.
I did that.
It's an old trick of the trade.
I sacrificed myself to the pit.
Oh, Josh Allen referred to the new stadium as the pit.
New nickname alert. Confirmed.
That gives it credibility.
Confirmed. That stokes the flames.
They call it the locker room, the pit. How about that?
I think the stadium's got to be the pit.
Well,
that's where the hole is.
I guess, but the locker rooms are like below the stadium, so you're like actually in it.
Uh-huh. Allen there, that's on Pardon My Take. They're at the Lake Tahoe Celebrity Golf Tournament. Allen's already going viral with funny videos. He's like trolling the Sacramento TV station, something. I don't know. He's goofball having fun. Not to be a cynic, but okay, fine. I'll play the role for a moment. I'll be the cynic. He gets asked there, what's the exact question he gets asked?
Would you retire right now if it would guarantee the Bills a Super Bowl next year?
Okay. I won't be all the way cynical and say, well, he's not being genuine. Maybe he might actually be genuine. He can't say the other thing.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
It's the only answer he can give. If he wouldn't say yes, he couldn't say it. He knows that. He knows Bills fans are watching. He knows Bills fans are going to find the clip. He can't say, no, I wouldn't do that. No one needs to hear that, though. We don't need the cynical end of that. I want to get to MVP, but real quick, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN, we talked about this early in the week, that he's been doing this series. Every position, he has NFL player personnel people voting on who are the top 10 players at each position in the NFL. And so far, like Allen, actually, I don't think they did quarterback yet, but we know Allen's going to be in the top 10, right? And we think probably Milano will be in the top 10, right, for linebackers still? Or will they ding him because of injury?
I would think so.
Okay. The only reason they wouldn't is if they're like, there's an injury element that they're looking for. Right, I don't think so. Ed Oliver was like others receiving votes. James Cook was honorable mention for running backs. There's no way a receiver is going to be in there. Could Dawkins make it? Is he there? Top 10 tackle? Is he getting that type of reputation?
He's not. He's definitely an honorable mention.
I agree with that. Defensively, other than Milano,
Ed Oliver,
Rousseau's not getting top 10 edge, right? You don't. He doesn't have the sacks.
Yeah,
he's good, but you need more than 5 sacks
Rasul
to get that.
Douglas.
Douglas might deserve it, and I wonder if he'll be like an honorable mention guy. Dalton Kincaid today is tight ends, and Fowler just dropped this a couple minutes ago. Dalton Kincaid is in the top 10. We forgot about him for this. 8th best tight end in football. Too soon for that? To feel appropriate? We like that the NFL personnel are like, no, we can project this guy. Like the rookie season he just had, like, no, he's going to be awesome.
There's not that many good tight ends.
Well, you want to hear the tight ends below and above him?
Yeah.
Below him, maybe a little bit to your point about how many good tight ends there are. The next name after him is Evan Ingram. Okay. Who, by the way, just had a historic season
year.
Catching passes for tight ends. Number 10 is Dalton Schultz.
Okay.
Honorable mentions, Jake Ferguson, Trey McBride. That's an interesting one because he broke out last year, and he is the second tight end going off the board in fantasy leagues.
Yeah, he is. He's going crazy high.
Yeah. Pat Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, Kyle Pitts are the other honorable mentions.
Okay.
Above Dalton Kincaid, Dallas Goedert.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
David Njoku.
Okay.
TJ Hockenson.
Yep.
Sam Laporta. Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, George Kittle.
Is George Kittle number one?
Sorry, I did that backwards for some reason, only at 1 and 2. Kittle's number 2.
Okay.
Okay, but this is maybe interesting. Fowler has the highest ranking and the lowest ranking of each player personnel guy. And there were a couple player personnel people that had Kincaid outside the top 10. There was one player personnel person that had Kincaid as the second best tight end in football. How possible is it that 1 year from today, he's considered like the second best tight end in football? If he has the year that we think he might, which is leading, if he, let me say it this way.
You basically tight end one in fantasy.
Right around there. He leads the Bills in receiving in a Josh Allen offense. Isn't he considered like one of the three best tight ends in football?
Yeah.
In most circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
Like 1 year from now, he really, really might be in that category. Right now, he's eighth. Anyways, where I wanted to get to on MVP. So MVP odds have been out for a little bit. I saw an update yesterday on this. And no surprise, Patrick Mahomes is the favorite. Or is that a surprise? Not a surprise, right?
No, not a surprise.
You know why it shouldn't be? He's been the favorite every single year since his first year in the league. 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23, and now 24. 6 years in a row, Mahomes has been the preseason favorite. Here's some instant trivia for you. What the last time Patrick Mahomes was not the preseason favorite to win MVP, what former Bill had better MVP odds than him? So this is 2018.
Okay.
He's going into his first year as a starter,
yeah.
But he hadn't played yet, really, that one game. So his MVP odds going into that year were 55-1. He won it.
Whose odds were better?
What former Bills odds were better than Mahomes the last time he wasn't the preseason favorite?
Former Bills odds.
Former Bill.
Wasn't on, okay, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Nope. Not the worst guess.
Offense or defense?
You tell me.
I was going to say, is it give it away?
Think about MVP, though.
Yeah, that's true.
J.J. Watt had 20 sacks and 5 touchdowns 1 year. And did not win MVP. Yeah. When that happened, the league declared that forever defensive players will never win MVP again.
2018.
The last time Mahomes was not the preseason MVP favorite. By the way, one of those years, I think 21, he was the co-favorite with Rodgers. But he's been the favorite preseason every year since his first year as a starter. And there was I was looking at the odds. I'm like, man, how long has it been? There's one former Bill that's higher than him. While you think of who this could be, like, this is how long it's been since Mahomes wasn't the favorite. Rodgers was the favorite the last time. There's Brady. Number three, Carson Wentz. Drew Brees after that. Garoppolo, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck.
Wow.
Todd Gurley. David Johnson. I almost just accidentally said
LeSean McCoy.
McCoy just behind. That's a good guess. I think he was still in the Bills, too. Yeah, he still was in the Bills. What's going on there? How is LeSean McCoy 70-1 in 2018 to win MVP? I guess he was like seventh among running backs, so maybe that makes sense.
Former Bill.
Jameis Winston, by the way, had better odds than Mahomes that year. 50-1. Eli had better odds. Old man Eli was 50-1. Mahomes was 55-1. What former Bill?
Stevie Johnson's not right.
No. You're on the wrong position.
It's not Tyrod, is it?
It's not Tyrod. Tyrod was a little bit lower. He was like 150-1. Yeah, he's a lot lower. No, it wasn't him.
Is quarterback still the wrong position?
No, quarterback's right. Former Bills quarterback had better MVP odds than Patrick Mahomes the last time Mahomes was not the favorite to win MVP in the preseason.
Mm-hmm. How isn't it, Fitzy?
Mm-hmm. It's not Fitz. This player that year had 3,800 yards, 18 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, which obviously was not worthy of MVP consideration. But these were his preseason odds before that year.
Who even was good enough to still be playing football? Wasn't EJ Manuel?
I think he was coming off a big contract. He had just been given a big contract. You're in the wrong era of Bills football, by the way.
Ah, okay. I got to reel it way back.
Yeah, sorry. I could have worded this better. He has been on the Bills since this. So he was better odds than Mahomes, and then
Mitch Trubisky?
Since then he's been on the Bills.
Mitch Trubisky?
Trubisky's a little bit lower. Not far behind Mahomes, though.
Derek Anderson?
Nope.
It's not
Kyle
Allen.
You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. It's not Kyle Allen. He threw 7 passes for the Bills.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum is the answer. The last time Patrick Mahomes was not the preseason favorite, Case Keenum had better odds than he did. 50-1.
I forgot he played for the Bills.
That year was his Denver year, by the way. He got a big contract, remember, off Minnesota, and it was like a one-year flame out, kind of. He went 6-10.
I don't remember him being in Denver at all.
You don't remember that? Case Keenum, who ended up on the Bills for a year as the backup, and is still in Houston.
Is that how bad things have gone for Denver? Peyton Manning?
Oh, yeah.
Was this post-Brock Osweiler?
Osweiler was the first guy they tried, wasn't it? This was in the middle of John Elway having no idea what he was doing as Broncos general manager.
Yeah, that lasted quite a bit.
Yeah, Elway gave Case Keenum off Minnesota. I guess it was only 2 years, but it was 2 years, $36 million, $25 million fully guaranteed, which at the time was, we're talking 6 years ago. $18 million a year was pretty good quarterback money.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been. Real quick on MVP. So the real point I wanted to get to on this, Mahomes is the favorite again. Allen's second. No surprise, right?
As is tradition.
I heard Mike Schoep point this out the other day on Schoep and the Bulldog. No quarterback has won MVP not being the one seed since Matt Ryan. In fact, Matt Ryan is the only example in the last 11 years of being the MVP and not being the one seed.
It's the best player on the best team, regardless of
statistics. Or having like the worst, you've got to have the great regular season. You've got to be... This is how Lamar won it last year. Lamar's numbers did not win him MVP. They were good. They were very good. What won him MVP was he was the quarterback on the best team.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
Yeah, it's not... The most valuable player is not what it used to be.
So how does it set up for Allen? Do the Bills have to win like 13 games for him to win MVP? Or can they be the... Can they win the AFC East and be like the 4 seed, but no Diggs... And Allen's going to get more credit because of that,
yeah.
Right? It kind of sets up well for him in that way. But can they not be like the best team in the AFC and Allen win the MVP?
Probably not. Would be my guess.
You think they've probably got to win like 12, 13 games?
Yeah.
I don't know how likely that is.
Do you think if he throws less interceptions, the conversation will be different about him? Do you think he would have won if he had 6 less interceptions last year?
Yes. Yes, I do. With the numbers
then
he had...
It's a super flawed system if that's the case.
It definitely is. He would have then had 29 touchdowns. Well, actually, can I count rushing? He had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. He would have had 44 touchdowns and 12 picks, including rushing, with all the yards.
You think he wins MVP?
Without the turnovers,
happens.
I think he would have won MVP. Yeah. I think he was 6 interceptions away, which is not nothing. It's a lot of picks. But, yeah, he was the turnovers away from winning the MVP.
I think that's terrible then. I think it's not an award that I take seriously if that's the case.
Bills fans want him to win it, though.
Yeah.
You want that. You want it for him.
You want the recognition.
He talks like he doesn't want it, but I don't fully believe him. 803-0550 is the phone number. 9 o'clock coming up, Sam Monson. I'll ask him about MVP coming up this year. So we'll get to a bunch of around the league stuff. Brandon Ayuk, what's going on there? Sam Monson coming up at 9. We'll talk some fantasy at 9:30. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, this is WGR. All right, very quickly. Sadly, the long dream that I've had of the United States men's national soccer team hiring my guy, Jurgen Klopp, lasted all about 90 minutes. They fired Greg Berhalter, and then like yesterday morning, like immediately, like Jurgen Klopp, not interested. Sorry, guys.
I'm surprised that they fired him without like having their guy locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Because they could sort of be left at the altar if nobody wants to work for them.
The funniest part of the Klopp report that the New York Times had was the headline is Klopp not interested in U.S. job. Then you read the story. he's rebuffed efforts by the U.S. to make him the manager. And then it's, so the story reads, after that, so Klopp's not interested in the job. And then the next sentence is, but the U.S. remains interested in making him their manager. Like, okay. He told them no, and they're still... I like their gumption. Keep trying, but...
They got to get somebody with some deep pockets. Give him a lot of money. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
Give him weekends off. I don't know.
Liverpool legend.
4-day work week.
Less than that.
I don't know.
Just coaching the international team, you got them like months off in advance. Anyways, Sam Monson when we come back. Pro Football Focus, less than 2 weeks away from training camp. What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? Feels like maybe more and more nothing might happen with Brandon Ayuk. We'll talk with Sam, though. I also want to ask him about Allen running. I meant to get to that more this week. We got to it a little bit. Like, Allen running and how much that changed their offense. Because they were not doing it beginning of last year, and they started doing it at the end. Anyways, Sam Monson when we come back. Get some fantasy in the 9 o'clock hour as well here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Who even was good enough to still be playing football? Wasn't EJ Manuel?
I think he was coming off a big contract. He had just been given a big contract. You're in the wrong era of Bills football, by the way.
Okay. I got to reel it way back.
Yeah, sorry. I could have worded this better. He has been on the Bills since this. So he was better odds than Mahomes. And then
Mitch Trubisky?
Since then, he's been on the Bills.
Mitch Trubisky?
Trubisky's a little bit lower. Not far behind Mahomes, though.
Derek Anderson?
Nope.
It's not
Kyle Allen. You're getting warmer. It's not Kyle Allen. He threw 7 passes for the Bills.
Case Keenum
is the answer. The last time Patrick Mahomes was
preseason
favorite, Case Keenum had better odds than he did. 50-1.
I forgot he played for the Bills.
That year was his Denver year, by the way. He got a big contract, remember, off Minnesota, and it was like a 1-year flame out, kind of. He went 6-10.
I don't remember him being in Denver at all.
You don't remember that? Case Keenum, who ended up on the Bills for a year as the backup, and is still in Houston.
Is that how bad things have gone for Denver post Peyton Manning?
Oh, yeah.
Was this post Brock Osweiler?
Osweiler was the first guy they tried, wasn't it? Was in the middle of John Elway having no idea what he was doing as Broncos general manager.
Yeah, that lasted quite a bit.
Yeah, Elway gave Case Keenum off Minnesota. I guess it was only 2 years, but it was 2 years, $36 million, $25 million fully guaranteed, which at the time was, we're talking 6 years ago. $18 million a year was pretty good quarterback money.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been. Real quick on MVP. So the real point I wanted to get to on this, Mahomes is the favorite again. Allen second. No surprise, right?
As is tradition.
I heard Mike Schoh point this out the other day on Schoh and the Bulldog. No quarterback has won MVP not being the one seed since Matt Ryan. In fact, Matt Ryan is the only example in the last 11 years of being the MVP and not being the one seed.
It's the best player on the best team, regardless of
statistics. Or having like the worst, you've got to have the great regular season. You've got to be... This is how Lamar won it last year. Lamar's numbers did not win him MVP. They were good. They were very good. What won him MVP was he was the quarterback on the best team.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
Yeah, it's not... The most valuable player is not what it used to be.
So how does it set up for Allen? Do the Bills have to win like 13 games for him to win MVP? Or can they be the... Can they win the AFC East and be like the four seed, but no Diggs... And Allen's going to get more credit because of that, right? It kind of sets up well for him in that way. But can they not be like the best team in the AFC and Allen win the MVP?
Probably not. Would be my guess.
You think they've probably got to win like 12, 13 games?
Yeah.
I don't know how likely that is.
Do you think if he throws less interceptions, the conversation will be different about him? Do you think he would have won if he had six less interceptions last year?
Yes. Yes, I do. With the numbers
then
he had,
it's a super flawed system. If that's the case.
It definitely is. 20. He would have then had 29 touchdowns. Well, actually, can I count rushing? He had 15 rushing touchdowns last year. He would have had 44 touchdowns and 12 picks, including rushing, with all the yards.
You think he wins MVP
without the
if that
turnovers?
Happens.
I think he would have won MVP. Yeah, I think he was six interceptions away, which is not nothing. It's a lot of picks, but yeah, he was the turnovers away from winning the MVP.
I think that's terrible then. I think it's not an award that I take seriously if that's the case.
Bills fans want him to win it, though.
Yeah.
You want it for him.
You want the recognition.
He talks like he doesn't want it, but I don't fully believe him. 803-0550 is the phone number. 9 o'clock coming up, Sam Monson. I'll ask him about MVP coming up this year. So we'll get to a bunch of around the league stuff. Brandon Ayuk, what's going on there? Sam Monson coming up at 9. We'll talk some fantasy at 9:30. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, this is WGR. All right, very quickly. Sadly, the long dream that I've had of the United States men's national soccer team hiring my guy, Jurgen Klopp, lasted all about 90 minutes. They fired Greg Berhalter, and then like yesterday morning, like immediately, like Jurgen Klopp, not interested. Sorry, guys.
I'm surprised that they fired him without like having their guy locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Because they could sort of be left at the altar if nobody wants to work for them.
The funniest part of the Klopp report that the New York Times had was the headline is Klopp not interested in U.S. job. Then you read the story. He's rebuffed efforts by the U.S. to make him the manager. And then the story reads after that. So Klopp's not interested in the job. And then the next sentence is, but the U.S. remains interested in making him their manager. Like, okay. He told them no, and they're still... I like their gumption. Keep trying, but...
They got to get somebody with some deep pockets. Give him a lot of money. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
Give him weekends off. I don't know.
Liverpool legend.
4-day work week.
Less than that.
I don't know.
Coaching the international team, you got them like months off in advance. Anyways, Sam Monson when we come back. Pro Football Focus, less than 2 weeks away from training camp. What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? Feels like maybe more and more nothing might happen with Brandon Ayuk. We'll talk with Sam, though. I also want to ask him about Allen running. I meant to get to that more this week. We got to it a little bit. Like, Allen running and how much that changed their offense. Because they were not doing it beginning of last year, and they started doing it at the end. Anyways, Sam Monson when we come back. Get some fantasy in the 9 o'clock hour as well here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.